going over everything covered, straight over. Say proverb.
Well, you have a kind of.
Morning.
Good morning.
Proverbs, chapter 2.
I'm in chapter 2.
And I'm reading out of verse 6, 2 and 6. It says, wisdom is a gift from a generous God. Remember, Bible, you know, James says, ask for wisdom, he'll give it to you. And every word he speaks is full of revelation. So, you know, right there, revelation in the middle from the Spirit of God, you know, Peter, and becomes a fountain of understanding within you. So, this understanding is 2 Peter. Now, we're going to write 2 Peter over understanding, because 2 Peter talks about in the last days, he gives us what? Understanding of the last days. But
yes, sir.
You know, if you read 2 Peter, he gives understanding of the last days. Mm-hmm. But I want to show you something. If you look at 1 Peter right quick, he calls himself an apostle of the Lord. You know, we spoke of apostles and all. But in 2 Peter, did y'all see that where he calls himself an apostle of the Lord?
Yes, ma'am. Verse 1.
All right, now turn to 2 Peter and see what he calls himself.
Well, you talked about it. One.
A servant and apostle.
Mine says of Jesus Christ, which is the Lord.
But in 2 Peter, you'll notice he's a servant
and an apostle.
And it calls his name what in 2 Peter?
That's what I think, Jesus Christ.
It calls him Simon Peter.
Yeah, right? Simon Peter.
A servant and apostle.
And the other one he says Peter.
And he just says Peter. Now he says Simon Peter. So what does Simon mean?
Rock.
Well, that Peter means rock. Right? Simon, remember playing Simon Says when you was a kid? You know, it wasn't Fred said, Joe said, Tom said, it was Simon. And Simon means one who listens.
Oh,
one who listens. And a female, remember the athlete that, you know, kind of messed up the limit, Simone? That's a woman who listens. But Simon means...
Simone, that one, her
name is. Yeah, a woman who listens is Simone. But Simon means a man who listens. Okay. So we relate that to a servant, one who listens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. And John, he identifies himself in the book of Revelation as what? A servant of the Lord.
Right.
You know, the Lord told him to write. So, there are several Simons in the Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, Simon the Cyrene, you know, he had the opportunity of picking up the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Remember him? And you know what Cyrene means? Simon of Cyrene, I looked this up, it's a city in North Africa. And this city is in a lush valley. And this river runs through this valley, and they produce a lot of produce there. I mean, it's a lush, rich valley that produces a lot of fruit. So, we'll get that picture in our head. Now, Simon, Peter, let's go to John there. The end of John. Remember when?
Last chapter.
Yeah, last chapter John there. Remember when the my boys had went fishing there?
Yep.
And anyway, they was out in the boat, and John told him, says, you know, the Lord hollered, they haven't caught any fish, and they not. And the Lord hollered at him, and you know, y'all caught any fish. And John told Peter, it's the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And John is noted for what? Love. Love always knows the voice of the Lord. And old Simon, what did he do? He jumps in the water, grabs a boat, jumps in the water,
and he swims to shore there. I shall follow him. And he goes up there, and the story goes on. And Lord addresses him as Simon Peter. Simon, son of John. He didn't say Peter. He says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Right? Okay. But you know what that word Jonah means? Son of the dove. Simon, one who listens to the son of the dove, or one who listens to the Spirit. Remember in the book of Revelations, you know, there where he's speaking to the churches, he don't say, you know, listen to me. He's always saying, listen to the Spirit. Listen to what the Spirit says. So,
okay. The dove.
The dove. So understanding, the Bible says, going back to the second day of creation, God created the heavens on the second day, right? You know, we see the heavens on the second day. Alright. Well, the Bible says, Proverbs says, where is that in Proverbs? He says that he created the heavens with understanding, and this understanding. Let me find it here. Let me get into this. Mine kind of went blank there, but he created the heavens with understanding, and or he, you know, when you, like, say, go to the city of Birmingham, and you go over to college there, say UAB, and it's, it will say, like, founded in such and such year. Right. But if you talk of the city of Birmingham, it is established. Okay, well, the difference between something being founded and something being established is something being established is on a grander scale. And the Bible says that he established the heavens. So you see, the heavens are on a grander scale than the earth. Okay. Back to understanding. You know, we spoke last week. I told you everything was in line. Wisdom, understanding, counsel of the Lord, everything flows like that. But remember the book of Acts last week, we talked about story of who was it there? or wisdom in the sixth chapter of Acts there that they stoned
Stephen.
My mind went blank. Okay, and the next story in the book of Acts, or the next, is the Spirit being poured out. Y'all follow me? The menorah, the wisdom of Stephen, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord being poured out, then understanding. Uh-huh. Okay. Remember the story after that? You know what it is? It's Philip. Remember Philip? And little boy was sitting up around the mule wagon and was reading Isaiah?
Yep.
And he couldn't, he couldn't understand it. So the Lord sent him up there to explain it to him. And so anyway, we see this pattern there, wisdom, fear of the Lord, understanding. And yes, ma'am.
But he also said, how can I understand it if there's no one to teach me?
That's right. And what he didn't understand was Isaiah 53. And there is a lot of understanding. When you understand Isaiah 53, the sum total, let me give you this, Lord, show me this. Isaiah 53 talks of he, him, his. 26 times it says he. What does 26 represent? Y'all know anything about, or I'm sure you do, but you ever heard of Gamaliel, or Gamaliel, whatever they call it, dealing with numbers. in the Hebrew, take Hebrews and how
Gematria
has certain, 26, what does 26 mean? Six means man, and two is, anyway, it's the second man. This 26, he is the second man from heaven, which is the second Adam, right?
Yes.
That's what that represents. And if you'll read it, kind of, that gives you a kind of understanding of who this he is. And
it's also the acreage of the Temple Mount, too, 26.
But it also says that the first Adam, through disobedience, brought sin, and the second Adam, through obedience.
Right.
Yes.
And this totality of Isaiah 53 there, a lot of times we look at it to healing, and which, praise God for it. But in this, talking about healing, in this seventh time, he says he, in this scripture, in the seventh time he says he, talking about where it talks about healing, it speaks of him and his, or himself. Anyway, it puts all three in there, he, himself, and his, in this scripture. Well, he, this seventh letter, or seventh time, and the seventh letter of the Hebrew is the old, you know where it says by his stripes we're healed, is the old Hebrew looks like this. It kind of looks like that. Two stripes. But that's where we get our word in English, the word Z from. Z, you know, think about Adam. Can I get your mind turned on this? When Adam named the creatures, what did he call that old striped animal?
Zebra.
Zebra, stripe. It says, oh, that's what Adam spoke. He know that Hebrew, you know, that's what he is. But from this word, if you'll study that seventh word, it's powerful. You know, like that's Enoch, being the seventh from Adam, was so pleasing to God. But there's a lot about that seventh word. And that's where that seventh, you know, by his stripes, or just to break it down, remember says, Bible says, he sent his word and healed us. That's exactly what it is right there. It's the word that heals. It's the word that heals. And within that word, you remember where Abraham swore, or God swore to Abraham, he swore to himself. That is incorporated in there too. So we're kind of all seeing that seventh word, or that seventh he, that God swears healing to mankind. I mean, I don't know if you really understand all that, but God swears to himself healing for mankind in his word.
Amen.
Okay.
Do you remember in the Passion Translation down there, it says that the actual Hebrew says, and amongst his bruises have we found our healing, which was proof, you know, bruises are blood under the skin. So as Mary has taught us, you know, Christ was working in him. So,
yeah.
I've heard all my life seven number of completion.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm hearing you and I'm saying, okay, yeah, that's completed, that's complete, that's completed. You know, everything is being done.
It's,
you know, it's the word is finished.
Yes.
Says don't add nothing to it, don't take nothing from it. All we gotta do is like the teaching from my understanding.
Christ meant on the cross. He said, it is finished.
It's finished.
The law was finished for one thing.
Now,
thank God.
To sum Isaiah 53 up and bring it kind of to the end of it, you know, the end of the matter always kind of projects the heart of the matter, or the totality of something. But Isaiah 53 says, effect, this Jesus that's been hung on the cross, he has already done, da, 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 he become a life-giving spirit.
Yes.
Remember Jesus says, it's best that I go away. So what? When the Spirit comes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, so this Jesus, this man on the cross, all this, he become a life-giving spirit. Okay.
Awesome.
Let's go back to understanding, you know. I'm about to run out of time. I'm going to jump to this. Understand, God, I give you, you know, James, book of James, been wisdom, First Peter, Spirit of the Lord, Second Peter, understanding, right? Okay. Remember when Jesus asked Peter there, when he comes shore, Simon Peter, one of the listeners to the Spirit, asked him what? Three times, do you love me? Okay. Remember, Peter and John had a little rift between themselves, you know. Remember after that, Peter asked, well, what about old John boy there? And Jesus told him, you don't worry about John boy, I'm too sure. But how do you know God? He always has a way to heal the rift. Why? This manure, we showed you this picture of this manure. That's what we're talking about. That Jesus was in the midst of. I wish I brought some more of these for y'all guys.
It's all right.
I'll bring some next time. Okay. Remember, he asked him, do you love me? How many Johns are they on love? After Second Peter, we have the books of
three
Johns. First, Second, Third John. So that's what our next one, when we get to the spirit of counsel, our teaching. Jesus was a teacher. That's where we'll go, First, Second, and Third John, to get these others. Follow me on that. And Jude, remember worship. What follows that? Fear of the Lord? The book of Jude. Worship. That's all about worship. And then we'll come to our seventh. Be in the middle, the Spirit of the Lord, the book of Revelation on the middle. So when you look at this and Jesus standing in the midst of it, you can see the menorah being the last eight books of the Bible, basically. Okay? Now follow me. If the word starts with, first five books of the Bible are
Torah.
The Torah. Mm-hmm. And the last eight are the menorah.
Oh, that's cute.
And the menorah.
That's pretty good right there.
But I'm out of time. Come on, first.
Asked him, do you agape me? Remember, he said, yes, I filial.
Filial,
you know that I love you as a friend.
Mm-hmm. All of them's in, yeah. And we'll go to John's, the third John's, and we'll see them. Amazing.
What it is.
Awesome.
I like it.
That's so informative. I love it. It's good. In fact, sorry I was late. I had a little bit late this morning. But the Lord put some interesting things on my heart. I kind of told Mary about it. We talked about it a week ago. And we've been talking about authority. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I learned authority first from a guy named Chris Lucas. He pointed out the authority scriptures for me. And he was an Italian Catholic. He got saved a few months before I did, but he went to the Church of the Nazarene after he got saved, and he taught me about authority, and it helped me survive, I tell you. I had Kenneth Hagin's tape. I've talked about that, how I listened to his tape series on it. And then in 2017, I started listening to Henry Gruber. And then recently, I watched a video of how Lester Summerall learned about authority. And all of these men walked in kingdom, covenant, authority, but they did it differently. Kenneth Hagin did it the way Jesus taught him. Now, Jesus taught him all about it. He took all the doubt out of it. And that was that when I learned authority from him, I was able to do more than I thought I could. You know, I talked about the gunfights, things like that. And you rebuke it and just can't nobody dies. It works. But Henry Gruber, he kept obeying God, and he knew he had authority, but he learned it as he was prayer walking. Mm-hmm. And the Lord gave him some unusual assignments to deal with authority. Some of the greatest I have ever witnessed or known about. The Lord transported him and had him take authority over places. Mm-hmm. Beautiful stories. I mean, it's a blessing. It's refreshing to hear God move like that in somebody's life. And Lester Summerall, he went and made films about things that he did. It's on YouTube today. Mm-hmm. And he had all kind of, he had the same kind of experiences. And I thank God for that. But when the Lord pointed that, he just brought that back to my attention. And so I thought about how when sometimes we lose something when we don't listen to people. Now, Paul dealt with this a long time ago, and the church could be so much stronger if they could receive from one another. Mm-hmm. You know, most traditionally, people are in love with tradition too much. Mm-hmm. Well, I listened to my pastor. I was watching the Andrew Griffith show. He said, I only take from my pastor. Okay, a lot of people are like that. I only listen to my pastor. That's what it was on one of his. He meant well, but that's a tradition. But when you look into Jesus, Jesus will connect you to people that will take you even further along.
Yes, sir.
Good.
And Paul cleared this up. I'm going to briefly go, you know these scriptures, 1 Corinthians.
Everyone kept pointing this out. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, books are good, people are good, and everything. Mm-hmm. But when you, like, talk about counterfeit money, he said, when you're doing the counterfeit money, you don't study this counterfeit and that counterfeit and
right.
that counterfeit. You study
the real thing.
That's what you got to say, the real thing.
The real thing.
And you can spot a counterfeit.
That way you won't go wrong.
Right.
But I thought that stuck with me. I said, that is so good. He said, it's okay to read books. He said, I write all kind of books, but he said, I don't put my books above the Bible. He said, a lot of times people want to read books, he won't read it. So
don't step out above your level of faith when it comes to authority.
That's good. Woo, I got to write that down.
You can't do that. There's a pastor associated with Bill Johnson. Mm-hmm. He said murders were happening too much in his city, so they decided they won't make it too expensive for the devil. Every time someone was killed on a street corner in their city in New York, they would go out there and speak Christ until they got three saved. Mm-hmm. And then the murders began to decrease.
Yeah. Praise God.
But that's his level of authority. That's not mm-hmm. something that I could do because that's not my level of faith, mm-hmm. my path, or my authority. So
this is
go past that.
This is where trust comes in. When you trust God, trust takes us beyond our norm.
Yes, it does.
Believing God, you know, you can, when you believe God, you're taking him at face value. You're in agreement with him. Yeah. But there are times you're not going to agree with him because you won't understand where he's going. You won't, you know, to be honest, you just don't know about that. Mm-hmm. And it's so new and you've never seen it before. But when you learn to trust him, you can go beat that step you wouldn't normally take. Mm-hmm. And this is how I learned things. I would not have done the things that God, a lot of things God told me to do, I wouldn't have done. I would have chickened out, just being honest. But I had a vow on my life. So did Henry Gruber. He made a vow with God. So some things God told him he would do because he made the vow, just like I did. Mm-hmm. And I said, I got to do this. I can't get out of it.
Well, you got to have the corresponding action.
Mm-hmm.
But it was something he told you
to do. Yes.
To do.
Yeah. You know,
but if he's not told me to do that, then I'm outside. Yeah. I'm outside of his protection in a way.
Yes, you are.
If he tells you to do it, he's with you.
Exactly.
And anytime he gives you something to do, the anointing for it is there too.
And the provision.
That's the reason why a lot of missionaries come back to the United States with their butts kicked, because God didn't call them down there.
Yeah, you can't. Don't go away. Don't go ahead of time. Let him train you first.
Exactly.
He always trained me.
Exactly.
And when he got me ready, I didn't know it. I didn't know I was ready to start something new. But he did.
But you were obedient. He had the faith. You were obedient.
Yeah.
I've just been reading stuff about that. Makes me feel good. Belief and obey is from the same word, and they develop the same way.
Right.
So, you know, when we got to explain his faith, of course, not in action.
Right. Yeah, see.
Like, if you believe the building's on fire, you really believe it, you gone. You gone back.
Get who you can out and get out of there and get away from it.
Exactly.
But when you believe him, you're in agreement. You know,
you believe and obey. That's when you saw results.
Now, believing and trust, it both turn to faith when you act on it.
Yes, yes. Good. That's good.
Because faith without works is dead. Believing without works is dormant. It's not doing anything. But when you act on it, it turns into faith. So does trust.
Mm-hmm.
When you believe God, you know, I believe him when the words were good to give people. I got to go tell this brother God thing. Oh, I love that. Now I got to go tell him that if you don't, if you don't follow God, God gonna send the members away. I've had to do that. I don't want to do that. That's not fun. But I said I got to do this. I pray in the Holy Ghost and
but
be
you
confident.
Did it in love.
I did it in love. I want to do that.
Friend.
I still didn't want to do it.
She didn't want Jean. You gotta know my friend Jean. She's not one to just tell you things and come out where I would. But that's just my personality. But anyway. She told me when we first got pretty close together for a few months now, she told me, she said, Mary, I hate to tell you this, but the Lord says you give the devil too much glory. But I really received it. I'm so thankful she said that, because I talked about him a lot, or too much attention or something like that.
When sometimes adjustments have to be made.
So that's good, Lord, that you correct people.
Yeah, he helped me make adjustments, and he didn't want that man's members to leave. So I had to give him warning so he could stop it. And that wasn't
just
popular. That wasn't normal.
Yeah, and if they didn't receive it, that didn't mean you were, you know, sometimes when you're younger, you think, well, if they didn't, if it was God, everything would be rosy-tosy. He would receive it. But that doesn't mean it wasn't God working on you. It just that he didn't receive it.
And I was learning, too. Now,
with his teaching and what she said about Philip getting up in the chariot. Homeboy was reading. He wanted to know.
Yep.
He was seeking in the Word. If Philip hadn't come along, when would he have gotten understanding? So God already had planned.
Yes, amen.
His heart, he didn't travel about 1,000 miles just to go up so that he can learn more about this Word. And then all of a sudden, this one guy comes along and says, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And then the next thing we know, what's stopping you from baptizing me? Because he is so full of what God had planned for him. And then there are stories about him going back to Candace, back to his country.
Yeah, Ethiopia.
And building it up with the Word of God.
There are churches to this day that are still there that they had built then.
Right.
To this day, there's churches still there.
Wow. So we don't know.
And then God translated Philip to another location.
Transported him. You know, let me help you believe it just a little bit more. You know.
You just gave me a deeper revelation of the simple scripture. Seek and you shall find. He was seeking it and God made sure he found it.
Yes, ma'am.
It was gone 1,000 miles. And that was a lot of things.
Right.
So that made me deeper in seek and you.
Yeah. One other little point. This was a very rich guy.
Yeah.
Philip was not wealthy at all. As a matter of fact, he was running. He had nothing. Come on, up in my chariot. You know? I mean, God had everything so well set to.
And the thing about it was, he was running with the chariot, saying it.
Okay, keeping up with it.
Man, God is amazing.
That's horrible, isn't it?
God uses simple things in this world to confound the wise.
Right.
Yeah,
it all works together.
No,
Kylie, I'm sorry. So
we're supposed to talk. So. That's iron sharpening iron, right,
yeah,
Thurston?
It does. I love it. It gets the Holy Spirit. People start yielding to the Holy Spirit, and you learn. And people who hear it learn a lot too.
Yes.
Now, when the Lord would give me something I wasn't used to, I had to trust Him. And He taught me. Before I began all this, He taught me that was going to be a very necessary element of my ministry.
To trust.
So when I trust Him, I can't see it. I'm walking to me. I don't know what I'm getting myself into. But He got me. The same burden is there, whether it's a word I don't want to give or an assignment I don't want to do, then the joy of the Lord is in you, and it's a burden. When you have a message, you can't wait to get this message off your chest. Whether it's good or bad or positive or seem to be negative, it's there. When you give it, it's gone. And then you learn from it. I always go ask questions when I don't know and understand.
Amen.
Now this is the problem. I'm gonna go on from that and go back to what God gave me. So many people are not taking that trust step.
Amen.
If you take the guilty step. If you take the trust step, you're gonna learn something you can't learn any other way at all.
Right.
Yes.
You won't even be able to identify with it unless you do it.
Because you know why? I've been, everything that you're talking about, I have been actually meditating on the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is it's because of their foundations. Mm-hmm. They're afraid that their foundation might get shook and they might realize their foundation, what their actual core belief was